This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to the Educated Investor Show that we bring you each week at this time. My name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. The Educated Investor is brought to you by Cishon Financial Services. They're with the Householder Group, Estate and Retirement Specialist. Check out their website, cishonfinancialservices.com. That's C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com. And once again, we are glad to have the star of the show, David Cishon, with us. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine, Scott. Thanks for having us, and how are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. I'm doing well. I tell you, every Monday has definitely been different for about the last 8 to 12 weeks. I'm telling you, it has just been unbelievable.
Boy, isn't that true?
It really, really is. Man, right when you think, well, are we going to get some sense of normality back? And then, boy, something else just explodes, so to speak. So, but yeah. David, I tell you, it's great to have you on and talk about the financial part of this, because I was just reading something here just seconds ago, and they talked about 610. Let's see here. Let me read this exactly. It says that they're going to be, SBA is to issue some new forgiveness guidelines for the PPP loan recipients after Congress relaxes the rules. And it's just talking about, let's see here. Oh, here it is. A concern among many small business owners who tapped the Paycheck Protection Program, a $610 billion fund established at the end of March. I don't know how you establish a fund for $610 billion that isn't going to come back and bite us. And we talked about that last week, but man, it is, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this whole mechanism that the government has put in place, you know, cutting the federal rates to zero, unlimited asset purchases for the Fed, alleviating the liquidity pressures in the system, all cost a lot of money. And sooner or later, that's going to come back to haunt us. Nothing is free, right? And taxation is down the road, and it's going to come with a tremendous surge, I do believe.
Wow, I'm telling you. Now, David, something that's kind of been great but yet confusing to some, wondering how this even happened, it looks like the market is kind of coming back a little bit. So how do we explain that?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because people react to this, and this is not unusual. When we've had severe market downturns in the past, we've had a number of false starts along the way, mm-hmm. where markets will start to jump, and then all of a sudden it falls back. Right now, if we look at the markets, we find that since February, they fell like 30-35%, somewhere in there, and they're coming back. They're coming back with a degree of volatility, but they are coming back. And NASDAQ, the high-tech kind of stuff and small companies, it's almost back to where it was. But you have to remember that when the markets go down 30%, you need 43%.
Yes, sir.
Of a gain to break even. And of course, what transpired, like back in 2002, markets were down 35%. It took 7.5 years for the markets to get even. 2008, markets down more than that, you know, 40-50%. It took 5 years for the markets to come back. All right, that's 12.5 years of waiting. And now here we have a situation where the markets are down 30 or 30-something percent, and they're coming back. Yet the S&P and the Dow still got quite a ways to go to recover their losses. The NASDAQ is pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we hear in the news about this rally, and it's coming, and that's good, trending up. But not all the stocks participated in this rally so far. It's really been the technology and healthcare sectors. Those two sectors make up about 41% of the S&P 500 market capitalization, dollars and cents. So okay. We look at companies like Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Facebook. You know, those alone have driven the markets up 22%.
Wow.
But there's okay. a lot of companies that haven't participated. You know, if you look at the S&P in general, you'll see that, you know, year to date, from January 1 until May 15th, forget about the downside and the upside. Technology is still down 1%. Healthcare is still down 4%. The S&P 500 still down 10-12%. Industrials in the United States down 26. Financials down 31. There's energy down 39, but again, that's making a comeback a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of negative numbers across the board, and yet people think this is a tremendous rally. It's good. It's good that we have upward movement. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it's really pretty shallow across the board.
Sure.
And so we've got to be aware of the fact that we have a virus that we don't have control over. Yes, less people are getting sick for the time being, but what is this protest around the country and all of these cities
mm-hmm.
going to do when there's no social protection there?
Right.
Is that going to kick us in the head again? Is it going to really hurt? We still got 40 million people out of work. Yeah, mm-hmm. there was some sort of positive word on that the other day, if it's indeed true. There's some question now about that.
Yeah,
and so
that's
so
true.
We still have these people. We got companies that aren't going to be back. They're going to be gone. What kind of magnitude is that going to affect? And then when the money runs out from the federal programs and the government, what are people going to do then? What are businesses going to do then?
Right.
See, it's all too short, and now we have the earnings coming up in June 30th that a lot of the experts say there's not going to be much in earnings for most of the companies. All of that's pretty negative, even though the market trend is pushing up. So there's a contradiction here of some magnitude that is hard to explain. And it could just be that this is the upside for the time being, and then we're going to have a pullback, as some professionals seem to think. We could have a pullback to the February lows. So we've got to be cautious.
David C. Sean is with us. We call this show The Educated Investor, and that's because David really talks about education so much through seminars that he does, and that's just a big part of his mission and his philosophy about the way he talks about retirement planning. Once again, their number is 720-482-1917. And David, you and I were talking a little bit before the show, but you talk from now to February. Well, boy, that's a lot of time that people should get in now. And if they have a plan, you know, somewhere else or whatever, just to call you to get that second opinion that we've talked about. And I've said this many times in the correlation, you know, most of us don't hesitate if one doctor tells us something to get to another doctor and get a second opinion. We'll do that in a second. But why, you know, people should do that with their finances as well, just to see if the two doctors agree, so to speak, right?
Well, yeah, and there's different viewpoints on different things. And a second opinion, it's just an analysis, if you will, based on what your objectives are. Are you doing the right thing in the right place? Are you taking the amount of risk that you can handle? You know, and this is an area that can confuse some people, because when the markets are going up, everybody's a genius.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter what you buy.
Yep.
Okay. But the problem is when the markets go down, what happened in 2002 or 2008? Can you afford to spend 12 years to break even at your age in retirement now? Or this market that we're in right now, should we have built cash along the way so when the market starts going up, we're buying in at lower levels and we recover even quicker? All right? Or do you just stay and ride it all the way down and ride it all the way back up? Like some people have done now in this market, and there's nothing wrong with that if you've got the Constitution. But again, if the market's down 30 in February, we need 43% to break even. We're not there yet.
Right.
So again, second opinion can sometimes just present items that we all know, but maybe we forgot about.
Sure.
You know, how to protect ourselves, how to protect the money. Again, the money goes down real fast. It doesn't come back real fast. And I know some people are calling for this V recovery, and life will be good. But again, knowing the problems that are out there that we're facing with the virus, with unemployment, with the social protesting going on, what's it going to do to the overall effect? Are we going to have to shut down again in July and August? Maybe through the fall, I hope not.
Right.
But if this virus goes rampant, it's gonna really hurt this stock market. Because again, they shut down and our economy is gonna be at a crawl.
Yes, sir.
And all of this hope is good, and I think that's the market is looking downstream and hoping that things stabilize and people get back to work and the markets are trying to push this up.
Absolutely.
But not everybody's participating, as it clearly shows in the S&P 500. There's only a few companies that are really doing well.
Gotcha. Well, David, it's always great information. And folks, look, spend a little bit of time with David. Let him give you that second opinion. And as we've talked about, now, most of the time that means with a company, you think you're going to walk in the door and they're going to tell you everything you've done is wrong and they want to redo everything. And while that may be the case in your position, you know, it may not be. And maybe just a couple of things that you need to tweak just to make sure, as we've talked about, you know, hey, are you okay with taxes? What's going on there? Should you pull some cash out? How are you with your, estate planning, the health care planning? All of that adds into a great and a complete plan for your retirement. And David will be happy to sit down with you and go through an initial consultation with you. All you have to do is call him, 720-482-1917. And you can check out their website again, cichonfinancialservices.com. That's C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com. So, David, thank you again, sir, and we'll look forward to our visit next week.
Well, thank you, Scott. Have a good week.
All right, sir. You as well. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center would like to announce their new Canine Academy is open. Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. The Canine Academy is offering all new classes and several exciting additions, including the new sport classes, scent work, and tray ball that dogs love. Their pet behavior specialist has over 20 years of experience working with animals large and small, including dogs and cats and zoo animals and exotics. He's available Tuesday through Saturday to help you with all of your pet training needs. Visit LoneTreeVet.com and check out the Canine Academy page for the summer class schedule, or just give them a call at 303-708-8050 and get your pet started in the training that's best for you and your pet.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. As the old saying goes, knowledge is power. And in the world of reverse mortgages, this knowledge is critical. Now, welcome to Knowledge in Reverse.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse. My name is Scott Watley. This show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Mr. Steve Hurley. Steve is the reverse mortgage specialist there. You can reach Steve at 303-885-0254, 303-885-0254. Glad to welcome in studio Kurt Rogers. Kurt's the owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage, and Kurt's going to cover some things today about the pros and cons of a reverse mortgage. So, Kurt, I know we don't have a ton of time to do this, but, hey, we're going to lay out some important facts for people today.
Yeah, there's a lot of myths about reverse mortgages, what they do, what they don't do, how much they cost, you know, how you lose different things. And I think some of the people need to hear the clarity of what is really the truth and what's not the truth. Reverse mortgage, as you know, Scott, it's not for everybody.
Sure.
But it is for a lot of people that need the extra financial boost or security.
Right. All right, so we're just going to talk about some of the myths and, again, some of the pros and cons of a reverse mortgage. And, you know, one of the probably the largest myths out there is that you don't own your home anymore. The bank owns it. Well, guess what? With a regular mortgage, Kurt,
the bank owns that one, too, till you pay it off. But and that's kind of part of the difference where people say that you never owned the reverse mortgage home, which technically you don't because you're going to stay in the house and you're not going to make payments on it. You still have to pay your taxes and insurance and HOA and do some upkeep, but you don't have to make the mortgage payment. So the thing with the reverse mortgage is the bank owns it. Now, upon your passing, the house stays in your estate.
Right.
And here's where people don't understand how a reverse really works, is they're told that the bank, if something happened to you, they just take it back. Well, no, that's not the case. Because the house goes to your estate, it goes to your kids or whoever you've designed it to go to. At that point, the children have 6 months to a year to figure out what they want to do with it. They're able to refinance it, sell it, take the proceeds from it. Now, we're going to kind of cover the proceeds and how that works as we go through this. But when you have a reverse mortgage, there's a percentage of the value versus what you can borrow.
Right.
Well, that percentage pretty much stays intact throughout because as you're paying or not paying on the reverse and the payoff's going up, so is the value. So they kind of work together. But you own the home. You have complete control of the home. Unlike a standard forward mortgage, if the market crashes and something happens to you and the payoff happens to be higher than the value, like in 08, that happened
right.
a lot, even though it goes to your kids, they're not liable. They have no responsibility to pay off your reverse mortgage. The bank gets it back, and they take care of it. They cannot come after your estate. They can't come after your money, no matter what. So it actually has a separate little advantage that even if the market goes south.
I mean, really a protection.
Really does.
Yeah.
And most people, you know, like my wife and I have talked about, we don't want to move. The house we're in is the house we're going to stay in. And as long as we're healthy enough to stay in that house, we want to stay in a house, and a reverse mortgage is a good way to do that.
Sure. All right. Again, some of the myths, my payoff continues to increase.
It's really not a myth. It's a fact. It does.
Right.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's something that's hard for us to understand. So let's say you have a reverse mortgage, and your payment's $2,000 a month. Your standard payment's $2,000 a month. And of that, $1,500 is principal and interest. The other $500 is tax and insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So if your payoff's $200,000 and you go to a reverse mortgage, they're going to tack roughly $1,500 a month on top of that payoff.
Right.
So every month it's going to go up by $1,500. So over a year it's going to go up by $18,000. So let's look at that. Yes, it's going to go up. But like I said, so is the value. So if the value, let's say, was $300,000 and it goes up by 3% or 4%, it's going up between $12,000 and $16,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the value is going up, but so is the equity. So you're not really losing out. There's other advantages that come in on a reverse. Plus, the thing you forgot is you're not making $1,500 a month payments.
Mm-hmm.
While your payoff went up $18,000, what went in your pocket is $18,000.
Sure.
So now you're able to handle those situations that you might need. For some people, it's paying for the medication. For some people, it's taking care of doctor bills. For some people, it's being able to take a vacation that they couldn't take before or pay off debt or do home improvements, be able to live a little bit less stress-free because they're now not making that $1,500 principal and interest
right.
payment.
And some people, just a little peace of mind, just looking over and seeing some money.
Yeah, that they can handle it if the car needs brakes.
Right.
And those speed bumps of life come along, and if you're on a fixed income, like many seniors are, that becomes very difficult to be able to withstand any kind of speed bumps to come up. You normally got to get family and friends. And I can assure you, at my age, I don't want to go to my kids and ask them for money.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my goal.
Right. And, you know, reverse mortgages are really not complicated, but here's a couple of things you got to understand. First of all, you know, Steve Hurley, again, will be glad to sit down with you. Sit down with your family members, hey, your CPA, your attorney, whoever you want to go through things. But then, again, another layer that's the advantage for the customer is they go through a counseling where they can, once again, maybe some questions came up between the meeting with Steve and them.
Correct.
Where then they can come up and they're going to get the explanation again from a third party that has no skin in the game whatsoever, right?
They actually have no skin in the game. And some people say it's so complicated on reverse. Well, part of that is because many people thought it was a bad idea going in. And one of the reasons was that your payoff was going up. But when you take everything into considerations, currently right now, many financial planners are advising the use of a reverse mortgage because of its simplicity and what it does. It allows you to keep some of your reserves, some of your retirement money, and defer it down the line because you free up that $1,500.
Right.
So you don't need to have extra money. If you got Social Security coming in and you get an extra $1,500, sometimes that allows you to take your 401k or IRA and kick it down the road a little bit so you can outlive your money. So that's one of the advantages of a reverse mortgage. It's not complicated. You only have to have a few basic things. You have to be over 62, which you win. Mm-hmm. Scott, you're over 62.
Yep. Almost.
Almost. You have to have some equity in your house, and that's all depending by age. You can't currently be in a bankruptcy. They used to allow that to happen, but because of what they call LISA, which is taxes and insurance still have to be paid. Right. They want to make sure you have enough money to do that. So in most cases, that won't work. But those are the basic things.
Right.
Over 62. Now, both people don't have to be over 62. If you got a married couple, your spouse could be 50, 45. It's okay. They'll still do the reverse mortgage for you.
Sure. Good deal. Kurt Rogers with us. This show is called Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Steve Hurley. Steve's number, 303-885-0254. It is absolutely a free consultation to talk with Steve, whether by phone or you want to make an appointment, run by the office. He'll come to you. Whatever the case is, Steve will be glad to help you. We're talking about some of the myths now, and now we're going to slip over to some of the benefits of a reverse mortgage. And, Kurt, you just mentioned, hey, you never have to move or make a mortgage payment. To me, you could stop right there.
Yeah. I never have to make a mortgage payment. Again, it's critical. You got to make sure you still pay your property tax, your homeowner's insurance. You got to make the house livable. You can't, let it fall apart. It has to have normal upkeep. If there's an HOA, you still got to pay that. But as far as the principal and interest portion of the payment, you don't have to make that anymore. And as long as you stay in the home 6 months and one day, you can treat that house as a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
Now, if you have a vacation home, and you decide to go to the vacation home for 6 months, minus a day, you're good to go. Or if you decide to live in another part of the country for a period of time, or several, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But your primary residence, it cannot be on an investment, can't be on a second home, has to be on the primary. So if you've lived in the house for 10, 15, 20 years, you don't want to move. You're comfortable with your neighbors, you're comfortable
right.
with your house, you know it. That's the nice thing about a reverse. It gives you that peace of mind that you don't have to move.
And it's also federally insured.
That's another nice thing about it. That kind of goes back to when I said they can never take your house away from you. You can never lose it. As long as you're living in a house, no matter what the value, they can't come after any of the money. It's yours. The federal government protects you no matter what the value of the home is.
Right. Now, also, like I said, guaranteed place to live. So if something happens to one of the spouses, the other one still gets to live there, correct?
Yeah, and that had been a problem previously, but what they've done to change that, again, we'll go back to that spouse that's 50, let's say, and you're 65, and all of a sudden you're 80, and they're 65. Well, if something happens to you, they don't have to change anything. They're still allowed to stay with the same terms as what the lease was or what the reverse mortgage
right.
was forever. They get to stay in the house. They don't have to make any payments because the whole reverse mortgage from day one is designed for that person, that youngest person, to stay in that house for as long as they want to without making the principal and interest payment.
Gotcha.
So it really does give you peace of mind. For example, if that was to happen to me, if something was to happen to me and I had a reverse, I'd be very safe with knowing my wife never had to move. She never had to make a payment.
Sure.
So
and
it
if
makes
you
it
want,
easier on her.
Yeah, and if you want to, I mean, there is some financial flexibility with payment options. I mean, hey, if you want to and you want to throw a little bit back on, you can, right?
And that's the funny thing. Many people, and you bring up a good point, Scott, many people don't realize that if you want to make a payment on your house, you can make a payment on your house. Now, why would I do that? Why would I do a reverse and make payments on the house? The rates are going to be relatively the same. So if I'm making the payment, why am I getting the reverse? Because I don't want the payment. Well, the advantage to that is The flexibility of the reverse allows you to tap your equity. Let's say you owe $100,000 on a house that's worth $500,000, and your reverse mortgage has a line amount of $300,000. That means you have $200,000 available. If you want to pay on it, you can increase that $200,000 to a higher number by making payments. But let's say you don't want to do that. That $200,000 grows every month, every year at the same rate that you're paying on the mortgage. So your equity line, as they call it, is getting bigger every year.
Right.
Which gives you so much more flexibility. So making a payment at some times might be beneficial if you're still working at 65, which many of us are doing that,
sure.
up to 70, 75. Continue to make the payment. You still build the equity because it's coming back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to you on this show and other shows about many people look at paying off their house as one of the best things they can do, and I don't disagree with that. But I look at the equity in your house no different than I do an IRA or a 401k. If I'm going to put $1,500 a month away into an account and it's going to grow in value, why is the equity in my home different than a 401k? That's my money.
Right.
I paid to have that equity. Why should I not be allowed to tap that equity when I need it as I get older?
Sure.
Just like I would my 401k. The advantage to a reverse mortgage is that money's tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
So as it's growing, you're not paying taxes on it when you're taking it out, unlike
sure.
a 401k or an IRA. So I have an added benefit to that.
Right.
So there's some good benefits to that for reverse.
All right. Do you have to do any kind of disclosure, sir?
Nope.
All right.
Yeah, actually, I do.
Right.
Affordable okay. interest mortgage, 7400 East Arapahoe Road, Suite 109, regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191.
Kurt, always great information, sir. Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Call Steve Hurley today. Hey, if you've got questions, figure out if it's right for you. As Kurt said, hey, it's not right for everybody, but you know what? It could be the right tool for you to give you some financial freedom and some financial security. Call Steve today, 303-885-0254.
You've been listening to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you would like more information about a reverse mortgage, call Steve now at 303-885-0254. That's 303-885-0254. Regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender, NMLS 298191.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for Stack Optical. Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their Denver patients for over 50 years. And as a family-owned business, trust me when I say they have seen hard times before. And no doubt the days we are living in are very difficult for us all. But owner Alan Stack and his wife Marilyn want you to know they are here for you. If you need an eye exam, new glasses, or even repair to your glasses, Stack Optical is ready to help. Call to schedule your private appointment today and rest assured every step has been taken to ensure your safety and health at Stack Optical. I've trusted my eye care to them for many years, and you can too. So if it's time for your eye exam or that new pair of glasses, call them today, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578, or check them out at stackoptical.com. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Hi, everybody. Jack Corrigan. There's no better time than now to visit my friends at Len Lyle Chevrolet. They're open, following all proper safety precautions, and ready to offer terrific deals. Suburbans for over $10,000 less, better than $7,000 off a brand new Equinox. And Len Lyle Chevy has 0% financing on almost every model. Plus, they need trade-ins badly, so they're willing to pay over book value. Len Lyle Chevrolet, it's time for you to go east and pay the least. And did I mention they need your trade-in?
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. Again, my name is Scott Watley. We are glad you're with us. Integrated Health Systems, integratedhealthdenver.com. Their number, 303-781-5617, 303-781-5617. And we are glad to have the doc himself, Dr. Shane Stedman. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Scott. How
are
you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I tell you, you know, it's been great visiting with Jake and also Dr. Maynard, and so we're getting you about every third week. But I tell you what, it seems like the weeks are flying by, and it seems like, boy, the first quarter of the year seems like it was 2 years ago now with everything that's gone on. But glad you're with us today for sure. So, Dr. Stedman, what are you seeing with all this? And let's just about the COVID stuff for a little bit, just get your little opinion on it, and then we'll move on to our topic. But kind of what are you seeing with all this and your patients that you're talking to? I mean, first of all, have you known anyone personally that's had this?
You know, actually, I just found out this morning, the very first patient that she contracted COVID last week. So that was the first person I know personally, professionally, through this whole ordeal. So, yeah, I guess it's good.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the first one. So, yeah, kind of walking through her journey, which is kind of helpful. So, actually, a little bit later, I have to talk to her on the phone and see how she's doing.
Okay, yeah. Great. May I ask you your opinion on mask?
Why do you always want to?
Or do you plead? Or do you want to plead the fifth? I tell you, I guess what drives me crazy is, you know, we live in Highlands Ranch. Lone Tree put out an ordinance that you had to. Well, so in other words, if I go out my street and take a right and go to Lone Tree, you have to. If you go left into Highlands Ranch more, you don't have to. And I don't know. It just seems like a deal that. And I'm all for keeping people safe, and I certainly don't want anybody to be sick and all, but I don't know if all this mask stuff is just, you know, that necessary. But I'm not a doctor.
I might plead the fifth. You know, I think it's a hard topic because, you know, when you look at some of the information out there, you know, the goal of mask is, you know, to protect others, you know, especially I think when you get into the older population. So, you know, when you look at the statistics, and I've looked at those research numbers, and, you know, when you get into people like 60 and older, you know, the death rate from COVID definitely goes, I think it's like 1.2%, 1.3% or something like that, which is definitely, you know, a good number.
Sure.
You know, when you go into like 40 and below, I think it goes like 1.26%, you know, so it kind of drops significantly, you know, which is really good. So I think that's where you see a lot of the concern is trying to protect like the elderly population. And that's kind of where a lot of the discussion comes from, you know, and I definitely get, I feel like I have whiplash, you know, because,
you know, like one group comes out, you know, you look at like things like the CDC, WHO, the NIH, you know, and you look at the different groups and one group says, you know, masks don't do anything. Another one says they do, you know, then you look at bandanas and they're porous, you know, so the virus is not going to be, you know, that's not really helpful for viruses. But then they talk about you just don't want to be coughing on other people. So it just protects your cough and your sneezes from travel all over the place, you know, so, you know. Yeah, there's so much misleading information out there, and there's so much.
And I think that's because if you look at all the things that were talked about over the, you know, from when this began to now, I mean, the information is so confusing. You don't know what, quote, expert to trust and where to get right information.
I agree. And even the experts that are out there, they flip-flop too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, which brings us to our topic today, migraine headaches. I'll get you out of this. Okay. But, you know, it is something that just, I think that's where the frustration of people, you know, this has come into, because it's just been so much misleading information. And whether intentional or not intentional, that's another show. But, I mean, it's just... just crazy. So let's talk about migraine headaches a little bit. And so what is really the difference between your typical headache and then what you would term as a migraine headache? How do people know the difference?
You know, your typical headache is, well, actually, it's probably easier to start off on the migraine side, because migraine headaches are usually defined as, you know, headaches that last, you know, 4 to 72 hours. You know, so there's some people who actually think they have a typical headache when in fact they actually have a migraine headache, you know, because they're, you know, they're dealing with like a 24-hour headache. So kind of by definition, those kind of tend to fall more into the migraine pattern, where your typical headaches might be like cluster headaches, tension headaches, you know, they call cervicogenic headaches, which come from your neck. You know, those are the headaches that you go, oh, my neck is kind of killing me, or I feel like somebody's squeezing my head a little bit. But that's kind of your two different ones. Also, migraines tend to have kind of headaches that are, you can have with an aura, or you can have without an aura. And an aura, if people don't know what that is, it's almost like it's something that tells you that a migraine's coming on. So there's an event that takes place in your brain, whether it be like a vessel constriction or something that took place that gave you a sensation. So some people have an aura like deja vu could be an aura, or squiggly lines, flashing lines, pins and needles in their finger, you know, a weird sensation around their lips. They smelled grape. They smelled a burnt wire. And then usually within like 2 to 4 hours later, wham, they get walloped with a headache. And that's usually an aura that can lead into a migraine. So some people get, you know, with auras, without auras, but that's traditionally the more common types of head pains that you see out there.
Right. And, you know, I remember back in the Super Bowl years when Terrell Davis, I remember, and I can't remember what game it was, but which Super Bowl, I should say, but he came over the sidelines, told Mike Shanahan, he goes, I can't see. So what is it about a migraine that affects the vision?
Well, you know, there are like visual migraines, there's ocular migraines, vestibular migraines. So you get different, you know, basically what's happening is that upper part of the brainstem, which is where light, you know, comes in, smell, your eyes, they're all kind of part of that system in that upper brainstem. So when you have a migraine, it's like somebody just like turned that system up. And so you get, so it changes like your vision. It changes light sensitivity. So a lot of those people are struggling to see in the light because it's so bright. They can get really sensitive to sound. They get sensitive to touch, you know. So it's all located in that upper brainstem. And that's pretty much where most of these migraine events take place, is in that upper brainstem that's like basically right in the middle of your brain. So that's kind of what you see with that.
Wow. Dr. Shane Steadman is with us. Once again, it's Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. And Dr. Stedman, you know, sometimes you hear people like getting a migraine, it also makes them sick to their stomach. I mean, what causes that?
Okay, so now we're still in that brainstem area. So in the upper part of the brainstem is where all the light and sound, you know, the vision, a lot of those pieces come into play. in the lower brainstem is where your nausea centers are. So when you see sometimes, or what you see with migraines is that, imagine somebody turning up the fire, you know, and when you turn up the fire in that brainstem, it starts to kind of go into the other parts of the brainstem. So you also get some of that overflow into the lower part, which is where those nausea centers are. So mm-hmm. This is where you can start people getting like a little nauseous. And it's not only the nausea, but your breathing centers are there and your respiration centers. So sometimes you just kind of see like people taking deep breaths. You know, they kind of seem a little bit like funky. They're a little pale. Their eyes are a little dilated or constricted. So you start seeing all these like brainstem nerves like starting to like fire abnormally. Now, the other thing is pain is when pain is involved, it also goes into that lower brainstem, which is where that nausea centers are. And you start getting some of the trigeminal pain, which is in the middle. So the middle part of your brainstem has a trigeminal system, which is where you get the ice pick in the eye, where you feel like somebody's stabbing you or squeezing your head with, vice grips.
Right.
You know, so those are all kind of part of that middle brainstem. And then the lower brainstem is like, well, me too. I want to play, and then here comes nausea. And then if the nausea gets high enough, then it activates those vomiting centers, which is your vagus nerve that goes to your stomach. So you can start getting the light sensitivity, the sound sensitivity. You start getting changes in your color, like your face might get more pale. Sometimes you can get dry mouth or watery mouth, dry eyes. Then you start getting nausea, the pain. And then if it just keeps going and going and going, then eventually your vagus nerve, which is the lower brainstem, turns on, and then boom, now you have a vomiting. And sometimes people actually feel really good after that, because when you vomit, you release a lot of endorphins. You know, so sometimes they're like, oh, I feel better
wow.
now. So it's a crazy chain of events that can take place with migraines.
Right. So now kind of talk about the treatment of it. It seems like every condition we always come back to diet. Does diet have anything to do with migraines?
It definitely can. So you can definitely have, you know, certain things like food allergies, blood sugar instabilities, things like that can do it. So I can tell you my personal, I do get migraines every once in a while. Mine are traditionally like blood sugar related, you know, where I forgot to eat. And it's usually at work. So mine are usually happen at work, where I get like busy and caught up with patients. And then I just kind of missed a meal, or I went too long without eating, or I didn't eat enough snacks. And then before you know it, bam, I get a migraine. So I know mine's blood sugar related. Some people, I've had a handful of patients, probably a big handful of patients, that food was definitely a trigger. So one patient, it was actually clearly like wheat. You know, wheat was a big, big, big trigger for her. And then we kind of found that every time she had wheat, about 2 hours later, boom, she had a massive migraine. So we kind of realized that, hey, if we take that out of her diet, she does really, really well. Some people's sugar, you know, if they eat sugar, they get a migraine. If they have certain food, they get a migraine. If they get chocolate, they get a migraine. Some other triggers like almonds, aged cheeses, nitrates that are found in bacon, salami, things like that. So there are definitely foods that can trigger a migraine for sure.
Right. And then is this something usually where when a patient comes in and they start talking to you about migraines, they've had it for years? Because very few of us come in when it just happens for a short time. But, I mean, do you see most of your patients have been suffering with migraines for a number of years before they come in?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, for them, it's kind of what brains them in. It's like they tried this, and then they kind of flips into they've tried this medication, and then they've gone to this person, and then they finally come in. So that's kind of what we tend to see very often. And a lot of times when we're doing the history, they're like, oh, I used to get one once a month, and then it turned into twice a month, and then it turned into once a week, and then twice a week, and then three times a week, and then five times a week. And that's usually when we get them. So it's like you have this process that's been going on for 2, 3, 5 years at times. And so you step through a history, and you're trying to get back to where that core cause, you know, maybe originated from. But in the meantime, a lot of things have changed in their physiology. And it sometimes doesn't take much to create a migraine. You know, they just get so sensitized that the slightest thing can then activate it. So, you know, people that can that have a chance to jump on this sooner than later, that's always a better thing to do. It's easier for us to fix things early on. We're looking at 5 years into it.
Right. So kind of walk us through then your I won't say your treatment plan, but just those initial stages. I mean, so you figure out they got headaches, when they get them, I guess you try to start trying to figure out if there's anything actually they're doing that's triggering them. So you try to point those out and then avoid those migraine triggers, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the best place we've talked about on the show too, I love blood work. And this is actually a good condition that blood work comes in handy, because you can see if somebody is like diabetic or if they're low blood sugar or if they have just fluctuating blood sugar. So there's definitely some markers on blood work that you can see if somebody's just a roller coaster all day with their blood sugar. Iron deficiency anemias can cause migraines. I remember having a case about 4 or 5 years ago that she had migraines for 7 years, and I was like, today's your lucky day, you're anemic. So gave her some iron. About 3 weeks later, her migraines stopped, and she's done really well. And matter of fact, she ended up having a kid, and her kid was 4, and started getting some, like, headaches. And so she goes, go see Steadman. Let's make sure you're not anemic.
Oh, really? You know? Yeah.
I mean, so that was really simple. So blood work can tell us some different things, like conditions, anemia, B12 anemia, some immune issues. Sometimes you have dehydration that can show up on there. You know, too much of a certain electrolyte or not enough of an electrolyte. So these are all different things that can contribute. So blood work is really important. And then you do that history to kind of dive deep into, like, what do you do? How do you sleep? Where do you sleep? You know, is it at work, time of day? You know, all these different factors, because you got to figure that piece out. And then from there, then we do the exam. So we can figure out, is it coming from your neck? Is it your brain? Is it your eyes? Is it your inner ear? You know, there has to be a place where it's coming from. So, you know, so we just start diving into it and looking at it from all facets.
Absolutely. Dr. Shane Steadman is with us, Integrated Health Systems. Once again, their number, 303-781-5617. Now, will you be following up with a webinar on this tomorrow?
Yeah, so tomorrow night I'll be doing a webinar on migraines and concussions.
Okay.
So it's actually going to be kind of cool, because I actually did an article. I did a piece for Brain Health Magazine, which is a concussion magazine. So I did a piece on migraines and concussion. But I was like, oh, that kind of be cool to actually do the webinar on this article. So the article's already come out in the magazine. And we linked the magazine, I think, in our newsletter. So if anybody wants to sign up for our newsletter, let us know. But we actually linked the article to that magazine, and I'm going to do a talk on it so we can talk more about concussions, brain injuries, and migraines.
All right, good deal. Give the office a call, 303-781-5617, and they can give you the link for that webinar, and that'll be tomorrow night, Tuesday at 6 p.m., and give you a chance to meet Dr. Steadman through that webinar, and it's interactive, so you can ask questions. And now here's something I read when I found out our topic today. It says if you have migraines, you're not alone. It says up to 10% of U.S. teens and young adults get migraines. And after age 12, during and after puberty, migraines affect girls twice as often as guys. Experts believe the likelihood of getting migraines runs in the family. So a couple of things there. Do you see much with teens or young adults with these migraines?
You know, we do. I wish we saw more. I think what happens, we get a lot of, you know, kids that come in, and then it's always the statement of, oh, by the way, they also get a lot of headaches. And I think it's easy with teens, because you look at things like not getting enough protein, eating too many carbs, you know, on their screen way too much, you know, sitting in a weird posture position while they're, you know, on Snapchat, TikTok, you know, these different things like that. So that's what you tend to see more often in the teen population. You know, sometimes I think studying, you know, sitting at the desk all day and then, you know, going back home and sitting more, sitting in front of video games, sitting in front of a screen. I think those are all kind of things. You know, I watch my daughter, you know, it's like sometimes I watch her, you know, sit on her bed and do homework, or sit on her bed and read a book, mm-hmm. or sit on her bed on the, you know, I'm like, how's your neck not killing you? You know, and of course, you know, a little bit later, she's like, Dad, can you adjust me? Because I have a headache. And of course. So I think there's sometimes like that postural, you know, position that they put themselves in on top of screens. And I think when you get into girls, you know, now you're getting into like hormones,
yep.
You know, now you're getting the you know, we're changing our hormones, shifting that body, you know, changes in their body and the morphology and things that are kind of altering. So I think that plays a significant role, because a lot of times migraines can also be associated with that progesterone estrogen imbalance. And so I think when you look at some of these teens that have abnormal hormones, that's a big thing to look at. And the crazy thing with, you know, hormones in young women, it tends to be more blood sugar and stress-based.
Sure.
Kind of going back to, because not a lot of females who are teens eat well, you know, so I saw this growing up. I see this now, even with my daughter's friends. It's like, it's just a lot of candy, you know, candy and pastries and, you know, cereal and things like that, that I'm like, where's the protein? Where's the good fat?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big piece of it.
Now, what do you think about the last line in there where it said experts believe that a likelihood of getting migraines runs in the family? Do you see that much?
You know, I don't see that all that often. You know, sometimes I do, but even if it's in the family, it always tends to be a little bit different. You know, whereas one person, it might be stress related, another person is diet related. So I don't see as much in the running through a family as much as I've read that in statistics.
Gotcha. Okay. And real quick on concussions, we'll finish up our last 7-8 minutes here, but I think the biggest thing that I hear about when I talk to people, you know, about concussions, they know we do the show with you. I say, well, man, you might have got a concussion. They go, oh, well, I wasn't knocked out. I mean, most people think a concussion, they have to lose consciousness, and that is not true.
Absolutely not. You know, they came out when I first got into practice. It was funny because I remember there's a PT that he was like, well, we focus on MTBI, which is mild traumatic brain injury. And it's like all of a sudden it kind of became this like buzzword. And because I think you had those people that thought you had to have a loss of consciousness in order to have a brain injury, which is just not the case. So now you have like TBI, and then you had MTBI for mild traumatic brain injury. And the thing is, too, is you don't even have to like hit your head in order to have a brain injury. So it's just a brain injury is a brain injury. So whether you like jostled your head really hard, the research shows that you can have like a shearing effect within the nerves. And then there's people who, you know, we're working on a kid right now in the office who was on a skateboard, fell and fractured his skull in two different places. You know, you're like, well, that's obviously a brain injury.
Right.
You know, and he lost consciousness. But that's not every single person. I remember one of the first cases I ever worked on, he was a doctor, and he was driving, and he ran into a snowbank. So he kind of slid on the road, ran into a snowbank. He did not hit his head, but ever since then, he could not remember what his patient said. So the patient would say, here's what's wrong with me, and then he'd go to type it, and then he couldn't remember what they just said. So he had to ask him over and over again, what'd you say? Repeat that, repeat that, repeat that. And he was getting ready to just retire and give up his license. You know, that was the first patient I ever saw, and he didn't hit his head. You know, so
wow.
you definitely see cases that are mild traumatic brain injuries, but I think that's another misconception that you don't have to hit your head.
Sure. So is it different parts of the brain or just more of a severe injury when you see people that, you know, they can't remember, like, see this all the time on TV and you wonder even how real it is, but where people can't even remember their own name or their family or, I mean, they remember nothing. I mean, is that just more of a severe injury, or is that a different injury to a different part of the brain?
I would say both, but really kind of a different injury to the brain, because if you have an injury to the parietal lobe, which is kind of on the top to the outside part of your brain, you know, you would lose more of like sensory. So sometimes people don't know where they're at in space, where their body parts are at in space, or they might have a lot of numbness and tingling. Where in the frontal lobe, you might have a little bit more of amnesia. So you can have some amnesia from the frontal lobe, but then there's like motor coordination. And the temporal lobe is where all your short-term memory is. You know, so you might remember who everybody is, you know, but you're repeating yourself. There was actually two cases that I actually got to witness where they had a brain injury and they literally repeated themselves like every 10 seconds because they forgot that they just told you that. But they knew who everybody was in the room, but they just repeated constantly. And one of them, I was working on a kid that he just fell out of a tree and hit his head. and lost conscious. And yeah, he was just sitting there repeating himself every, 10 to 20 seconds. So it definitely depends on where at in the brain it was injured. And then it can also involve severity as well.
Sure. And so even like in car accidents, and I know Kevin Flesh and I came by and talked to you one day, but even car accidents, a severe whiplash or something like that, and just that tossing of your neck and head can even cause a concussion. And again, not hitting your head, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I actually was talking to Kevin about that. I think I was on the show. We were talking about that, from a personal injury case, is that, sometimes people go, oh, well, nothing happened to the car, or, it wasn't that severe. But sometimes just jostling your neck and your head can actually cause a mild traumatic brain injury. And I think that's what's so important. And I think I was talking to Kevin about this, that, people that get injured, you want to get checked out like really soon.
Really quick.
Because
you
want to be able to document, here's the things that we found that really justify the case that, just because the car wasn't that bad doesn't mean that you're not that bad. And sometimes that's one of the big issues that you see out there in the attorney world. Is that they look at the car and go, oh, well, the car just had a, we just had to replace the bumper, so what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. No doubt. So give us a little insight to the webinar tomorrow night and what you'll be going into, maybe a little deeper into these topics with migraines and concussions.
Yeah, so if you were interested, we're doing our Tuesday webinars. So a lot of fun rotating those out. So tomorrow night's my turn. So I'm going to talk on migraines and concussions. And it starts at 6. We'll probably go to about 6:30, 6:35, 6:40, kind of whenever I stop talking. But, the goal is not to take up too much people's time. And then they can ask some questions in the chat, and, we'll answer them as we go along. So it's just kind of a good time to educate people. And, during COVID and when you're at home, you can listen in. So it's totally free and educational.
Absolutely. And again, just give the office a call, 303-781-5617. Again, 303-781-5617. They will give you the necessary information where you can join in on that webinar tomorrow night, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. So, Dr. Stedman, I got about 45 seconds here, but as far as I'm sure you're seeing a lot of people really wanting to build their immune system to not get these colds and not, we have flu season even coming and all that. Any tips on that again? And again, I'm just pushing everybody to get in and get some blood work and get that baseline of what's going on. But any tips on immunity right now?
Keep your inflammation down. I mean, that's the biggest thing they're talking about with COVID and probably the flu as well coming up. But keep your inflammation down because it creates cytokine storms. So it really drives that inflammatory system and then it just wreaks havoc. So keep the inflammation down. There's lots of talk on zinc, liposomal vitamin C, vitamin D, glutathione. Those are like the four major things, So keep your stress down, keep your inflammation down, eat healthy. Those are all the things that you can do kind of during this time and even moving forward, because, who knows how much is going to be around.
Sure.
But the things that you can do to keep your system under control, don't smoke anymore. Don't do things that is detrimental to your health so that if you do get hit by, a bug like this and viruses, that they don't take you down.
Absolutely.
So do your part and do the best you can.
All right. Join Dr. Stedman tomorrow night for his webinar, 6 o'clock. Give the office a call, 303-781-5617 for more information. Check out their website, integratedhealthdenver.com. Dr. Stedman, we'll let you go. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thanks, Bob.
All right.
Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.